Hey guys, welcome to my nature podcast. This is Aaron Dockendorf. Today I'm just going to be talking about one of my favorite species that I've ever got to learn about, which is the Honduran white bat, also known as Ectophyllo alba. What this species of bat caught my attention first was its really distinct appearance. But a little bit about the bat, right? It's in the order of Chiroptera. It's under the family Philostomidae, the leaf-nosed bats. And it's going to be in the area of Central America, around the countries Costa Rica, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama. Of the leaf-nosed bats, it's the only one endemic to this area. And so what we're going to see is that it really does prefer moist evergreen forests and secondary forests that are very popular in this area. And it's also going to be really incorporated its lifestyle with two specific plant species. Ficus colubrine and heliconia plants. The heliconia is going to be like this wild banana variety that's got these really distinct oval leaves. The ficus also is a fig species that the bat is going to feed upon. And so what we see is that it's going to form these home ranges of about 60 hectares that it's going to choose based on this evergreen forest, open understories, and the presence of these two plant species that it needs to survive. It's very specific to these in its lifestyle choices. And so what we see is that its behaviors and appearances are based mostly on its interactions with these two plants. And so we'll look at some of those because they are very unique adaptions that they have to these areas. If you would look at the Honduran white bat, and I encourage you guys to look it up after this podcast finishes, it's got this really distinct appearance. It's got a white fur color and really yellow and orange nose and ears. The nose and ears are also going to have the nose is going to have this weird leaf shape that we'll talk about as well. But the white fur color seems like it would be really ill adapted to being a tropical camouflage. This is because, you know, you would think that a green or a brown or a dark color would be more preferable. But as we know, our bats are going to be using these heliconia leaves to survive in. Those are the shelter that they use. And how they create these shelters is they're a tent-making bat. And so they will basically climb under the leaf. They will use their teeth to chew along the rib of the leaf. And that leaf will fold over on top of the bats in almost a tent shape. And then the bats, they can have 6 to 10 little bats hanging out inside of these tents, which are known as their roosts. And so these little roosting colonies are going to be usually just one or two males and several females. They'll form this polygamous relationship where the males will kind of reproduce with one male will produce with many females during their breeding season. And all the females will sync up their reproduction cycles so that they will mostly be giving birth at the same time period. And that really is beneficial to how they can care for each other within the tents. The tent communities, we'll see that really would only be able to survive if all the bats work together, because it's a huge investment in their energy to create these tents. They could take weeks of time to finish, and then they are only lasting for several weeks at a time. So they're kind of living and working in these things. And the females are doing a lot of that work, while males do a little bit more socializing as well as foraging. But the females are doing basically everything from construction, foraging, and caring for the young. The pups are the baby bats that are born. There'll be a few of them born each breeding cycle, which only happens about once a year. And we'll see that they are really reliant upon the mothers to take care of them. The other thing you'll notice when you look at the Honduran white bat, like I said, is their nose. It's got that really distinct shape as well as color. The color is coming from their diet, actually. The figs that they eat upon are going to be actually filled with this carotenoid called lutein. Lutein is it's in humans, and it's in our eyes to prevent damage. They act as the carotenoid acts as a light filter for us in eye tissues. But other animals are more easily able to use this because they can take carotenoids in through their diet. That's something that most mammals can't, but it was found in this species of bat, which has huge implications for human health if we are able to take in carotenoids through our diets. if you look at some of the behaviors that are apparent from the bats, it's because of their living in these tents that they have to do these things. One of these things is a major mechanism bats used by these bats is echolocation. And they use this to navigate through the forest in those nocturnal environments, going from their roosting sites to the feeding sites, and then, you know, using it to gauge distances and objects in the way. They use mostly their olfactory senses, their smell, to find the figs, but they use the echolocation generally for their navigation through the forest. And that nose leaf is what really helps them, because the folds in it are going to be designed basically to help them in their current environment. So it's really specific and tailored to them. And so we'll see that they really do need that open understory. Otherwise, it's too constricted for them. And so that's why this prime habitat is such a focus for them. If that prime habitat is put at a risk, we could see that our bats are threatened in the future. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But one of the cool things that came from observing these bats was just some of the behaviors that they would showcase. The male bats would do this awesome thing, this weird, unique behavior called fur chewing. And basically, the male bats would go around the roost colony as they're all kind of hanging out in there, and they would go and almost chew or bite the other inhabitants. And it seemed like it was a weird, you know, was it a dominance thing? What was going on? They found that they believe it's actually just the males applying a scent to the others in the same roosting colony. They think they do this as kind of a community bonding experience, right? So the others in the colony are able to have a scent that they know is associated with their other members. And so they know, okay, that's another female mother in my colony that's helping protect me, or that's another male that I know. And so it kind of creates that sense of community. So they're not just flying in and out of random roosting nests. The other thing that they saw when they were looking at kind of what was happening inside the nest was that the pups are quite interested and do have these learning behaviors. So they saw a pup, this is a quote from one of the studies by Rodriguez, who is a leading expert on this species of bat and all Costa Rican bats. He said, well, being alone in the tent, the pup started to investigate a torn dangling piece of roost leaf, started to sniff, and then would use its thumbs and claws to grasp at the leaf, hitting it, playing with it, chewing it for a few seconds, and scanning it. It repeated this several times, and then it went on to inspect the tent structure. So it inspected the midleaf and would chew on things around there again. And so this was a cool behavior that they saw. They identified a few different behaviors that these bats were doing that they didn't think the bats would showcase. They didn't think that they had that higher level of behavioral adaptions. And so it is a cool thing to see in this bat colony, is that it's almost a little community with a lot more going on than we might presume. And right, this is, so we can see, a really cool species that probably a lot of us haven't heard about before. And for good reason. It's because it isn't the most popular bat species. Most of us think of these other black, brown-colored bats, but there's a whole world of bats that have these really unique adaptions, like the white Honduran tent-making bat. Obviously, though, it is under threat from humans, as are most animals in our world. What the Honduran white bat is facing is several things that are hurting its population, but it has not been put on a more severe threat besides near threatened by the IUCN Red List. This was because there isn't enough research around the bats to give it a further designation. Until more research happens, it's going to stay at this point, because there's just slight research behind population declines. And those are mostly because they've seen around the borders, there's a border effect on the ranges of these bats. So anywhere near humans are going to have worse outcomes, and as well as a few things like deforestation and habitat loss. Obviously, is very important, because without those ficus plants or those fig plants, and without the tents or the heliconia plants that they need to create those, they're not going to be able to find that prime habitat that they are very specialized to. some of the other things that are facing the bats are actually going to be wind energy. The installation of these large turbines has been hypothesized to affect the kind of flight patterns of bats. It is not known if it's going to be affecting the Honduran white bat, but it has been seen in other bat species. And as well as there is a huge stigma in the area of those Central American countries and South American countries of vampire bats. And vampire bats have this stigma because of damages to the cattle industry, as well as bringing in diseases that farmers and local peoples have actually taken it upon themselves to take out bats. And so if they see the Honduran white bat, they might assume it's a vampire bat just out of not knowing enough research about it, that they're going to end up just killing it. And so these additional killings and habitat loss are going to be the driving factors pushing the Honduran white bat to potentially threatened or near extinction. Right now, though, it is currently just at near threatened, but the calls for conservation groups are trying to educate people to get them to be more conservative and caring of the bat species. And so I hope you guys learned something about the bat today. I really do encourage you to go look it up. Look at how it sits inside of its tent, because it is a behavior that really you can only visually see, and it's just so cool. I chose this bat species to study because, well, I've been working out at Lewis and Clark Caves all summer, and there's a population of Townsend big-eared bats out there. And so being able to see the unique, you know, adaptations and lifestyles of these flying mammals is something that's really cool. And I thought they, you know, were just cool because they could fly in the darkness. There's so many more things about bats that showcase, and I think the Honduran white bat really does showcase some of the coolest features that bats in the world have. So I want to thank you guys for joining me today. Hope you learned something about the Honduran white bat, and we'll take something home to, you know, enjoy further, apply it to a different species. And thank you guys. Appreciate it.